This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. G'day guys, Mike here. Welcome to Mike Talks, the sometimes Friday edition of my podcast 20th Century Boy that I sometimes do when I sometimes have time. This week I kind of had time, but I've been scrambling a lot because I am very, very soon going to jump on a flight to Sydney to do some recording up there. But I really wanted to make time to chat to these guys, Adam and Simon, Adam Denston, Simon Lovett, Adam and Simon from Gogglebox. That's probably where you know them most, but they have done a lot more than that, including going into I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, going into the jungle late last year that aired on Channel 10 at the start of this year. These guys are so awesome. I was able to work with them in radio, a brief stint of a radio show that they did at the start of 2020, just before COVID-19 hit. And working with them was an absolute pleasure, and they have such a fun environment, and we've been mates ever since, so it was great to actually finally sit down and chat to these guys. There's a lot of laughs. We talk a lot about their journey from just being two uni students who were approached in a pub about being on a TV show to then going on that TV show, which blew up, and sort of their lives from there. There are a bunch of episodes of Mike Talks on this podcast feed or wherever you are listening to this. You can listen to episodes with Cackling Jack Post from Hamish and Andy, Ryan Shelton, a creative and writer, Broden Kelly, one member of Auntie Donna, Alice Tovey, a great comedian who has a show coming up at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Dave Lee from Dave Lee Down Under, a pop culture-based YouTube channel. Tons and tons of great chats. So after you check this one out, please go and download or listen to another one and binge them all. And listen to my normal podcast as well. And the other way you can support me is go to radiomike.com.au, check out all the stuff that I do there, and follow me on Instagram, radio.mike. These episodes also go up on YouTube as full video. So if you want to see the video version, feel free to go there. But now over to my chat with Adam and Simon. Enjoy this. Catch you later. All right. Welcome to Mike Talks, the very first ever double episode of Mike Talks. And it's not like a double episode where it's like a double length. You know how they do like double episodes? Yeah. So it's like, this is an hour long.
Movie length.
This is not, well, it could be movie length, but a short movie. Anyway, it's Adam and Simon from Gogglebox. Welcome to the makeshift studio and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Radio Mike. I actually thought you were going to say it's our first ever episode, and I was like, it's great to be your first guest. So good. Start with the top. Start strong. And you're like, it's our longest. It's our first double episode.
It's our first with two people. It's our first one with half the talking.
Yeah. Have you guys actually thought, I guess you guys do this a lot where you're on stuff together. Do you talk in advance about when each other talks, or is it just kind of a, like, you know, kind of thing?
We've established it's more
Can I interrupt? Yeah. Adam did not start talking.
No, I didn't. It was just
you continue.
And let me reveal behind the curtain, because Adam answered the first question and then you'll notice that I threw in a little bit and there was a little
funny.
Back and forth. But then the next question, I'll then answer the next question off the bat, and then Adam will throw in his bit to that, and then that's how it'll bounce.
And also for the way that we're sitting at the moment, I'm exactly.
That's exactly what Simon said would happen.
This is it. It's how a duo works. You work with Hamish and Andy. I'm sure that they do one question each. That's how it works. But so the way that we're sitting, I've got a good view of Simon's head when he turns to answer your questions. And so I can see him do a little bit of a breathe in. And so it's like, he's going to answer this one.
Oh, right. So you're kind of, you've got a bit of an advantage. Simon, you're kind of in the middle there. You have to look sort of both ways.
I just have to nervously trust that Adam won't start talking if I start talking.
And can I say, as a, like, you know, I guess I'm the interviewer in this setting. It's hard for me.
So. Your name's on the title.
No, but it's not an interview podcast. It's more of a conversation. But
chat podcast.
Yeah. What I'm saying more is that, like, now I'm worried that, you know, I'm going to come in when, you know, Adam's about to do his, like, adding bit, and then I've ruined your thing, and then maybe you guys get frazzled and don't know what to do.
Who answers the last question? I don't know what to do. How do I talk about it?
It is hard once you lose track of whose question you're up to. Once you get about six or seven, and then it's like, geez, what's happening here? But, I mean, that's also part of our game, is we got to know when to let you talk as much as we got to know when to let the other person talk.
We also both hate awkward silence, so if there's any of that, we will fill it. Quickly, someone says that.
Well, now I don't know whose question it is. Is
this Adam's? Mine,
it's Adam's.
Mine,
okay. Yeah. How are you today?
Well, mate, I'm fighting fit. I had a great lunch. I had leftovers from for dinner last night.
What did you have?
It was a brined.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Simon. This is my podcast. Oh, no, no. What did you have?
Welcome to the Adam and Simon show.
It was what talks with Adam and Simon.
A brined chicken breast with a mushroom ragu over the top, with roast carrots, roast pumpkin, and beans.
Yeah, that for lunch.
Yeah, leftovers from dinner.
Damn.
That's are you saying that because it's like sounds like a big lunch?
It's good.
Oh, no, good. A like good lunch.
Yeah,
right.
Really flavoursome.
Dinner for lunch.
Well done.
Nice.
What did you have for lunch, Mike?
I had a bar me today. I spoiled myself where from? Up the road. You actually live very close to me, Adam, but I have a running thing with my listeners where I never say the suburb that I'm from, but you're from a suburb that is not the suburb that I live in.
Similar. Yeah, but close. Close in proximity, not in name.
Yeah, wow. You would say that your suburb is like, you probably don't want people knowing where you live.
We've got a rule. We tell everyone exactly where we're from and people throw
stuff
at us.
What is your exact address?
All we've established is that Simon lives right near a busy road.
Yes. Ooh. And I also live near Justin, who's our sound guy.
Our show.
Okay, yeah. Where does Justin live? Oh, wait, no. He lives whisper just, it to me. Whisper where Justin lives.
He lives just near me, actually.
Just
oh,
off.
I know. Oh, out, yes.
Just off a busy road.
Yeah. Okay.
Close to a busy road.
Would you say that the name of that road is the name of an Australian state?
No.
Oh, sorry, no. City? an Australian city. An Australian
also, no.
Oh, yeah. So it's not Sydney Road.
No.
Do you live near Sydney Road?
It's Queensland Crescent.
Guys, sorry, were you about to say something?
No.
See,
no.
Now I don't know when to talk.
Pressure's on you. See, we've offloaded by explaining.
You have offloaded. One of the things that I feel like, you know, we've worked in radio together for a bit, and then like lockdown happened, COVID happened, and then every time we sort of saw each other in the hallways and stuff, we'd be like, guys, we got to get a beer soon. Haven't had the beer. So, if you'll excuse me for 1 second, we're going to have beers during the podcast.
Yes.
So, I've got some beers here. You guys have just come from work.
Yes.
I'm 26 and I barely have a job, so I'm always up for beers. Yeah, I'm currently at work, so I'm going to rip them off. I'm going to try you do it because you've got two hands, Simon. Yeah. So,
It all makes sense now. This is why you gave me the mic.
This is why I gave you the mic, yeah.
Divide the beers.
For audio listeners, Simon is on an arm mic. So me and Adam are on handheld mics, whereas Simon is on an armed one. So this is, I'm not going to read the brand because it's non-sponsored, but it's an acai and passion fruit flavored beer.
I was quite impressed with your acai. Added a little bit of an E on there. Some people just go acai.
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 Interesting. A fruit sour.
You guys don't seem interested in opening them, are you? You are.
No, because... do you need me to open them for you also?
Oh, no, I'm going to open mine now.
Okay.
And we're all going to... So this is the beer that Adam and Simon and our Mike have been wanting to have for over a year now. Cheers.
It's good to have that beer,
it's
guys.
It's good to finally have the beer. We'll take a sip. Ooh, it's quite fresh.
You can taste the acai.
But you can't taste much of the... Actually, I can definitely taste more passion fruit than acai, but I don't think I know what acai stands.
I was just
I don't know what.
If I had to describe the taste of acai, I would struggle.
I know it's purple. Just from
it's a big breakfast bowl thing. Yeah,
yeah, it is a bowl. Isn't it just like it's a berry? Like a
I would say blueberry,
but you blend it up and it just looks like a frozen yogurt.
What? No, it doesn't. It's like a blueberry, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but when you blend it. And chill it.
But everything looks like frozen yogurt when you blend it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Idiot alert. We found the idiot of the duo.
Got him.
I hope people, because I have this thing on my podcast where I say, you guys might cringe at this, so be ready. I say the word haunted wrong.
Haunted.
As in like a haunted house or a haunted.
Haunted house.
How would you say it?
Haunted house.
Yeah,
haunted.
I've always just said haunted. And people,
have you really?
And
you is
might,
that a joke?
You might notice my shirt. This is official merch. Haunted house merch.
You're all over merch. You've got the merch t-shirt here. You've got Release the Sound CD signed behind you.
Thank you.
You're a merch dominator.
I'm a merch mogul.
How do you...
The mogul of merch.
Can you give us some insight on the merch? How do you organize it? Where do you go? What's step one?
I don't know. Wait, for stickers and stuff or just...
Whatever you like, because we currently have no merch and have been discussing it at length. Oh, you guys need to get merch.
Maybe, I think that's an off-air conversation, which I'm happy to help you with, because I think it's boring for people to hear about merch. I want to talk about A&S, right. Adam and Simon, not Abercrombie and Sitch, which is a different A&S. So
that's the clothes that you can buy from Bali.
You could have gone AS Colour.
AS Colour would have been way better.
We are just as cheap and just as horrendous quality as Abercrombie and Sitch.
Yeah.
Most people would obviously know you guys from Gogglebox. That is the A&S origin story.
That is it.
You know, Batman had his parents killed in an alleyway. You guys were on Gogglebox. It's pretty similar when you think about
Everyone needs a story to start with.
Yeah. So tell us about a bit about how... Sorry, you just tapped... Simon tapped Adam on the leg to be like, this is my... Is that what you were saying?
No, I was going... No, this is your question.
Oh, yeah,
okay. So that could be confused.
It's a bit of craft. Nah, we've done it enough
Not
time.
For us, it's not confusing, see?
So
for the layperson, sure.
I'm sure you've told this story a lot, but I you've actually told me this story. But for the listeners, can you tell us a bit about how Gogglebox came to be for you guys?
Yep, so we were at the pub... On a Thursday.
Oh, sorry, I just laugh because you go, yep, and then start the story. Imagine you just went, nope.
not doing it. We've told that
I
one
told
enough.
Told it one enough. If you want to know, you can listen somewhere else.
Don't they say like, Billy Joel hates playing Piano Man at his live gigs because it's like, I've just played this song so many times. I don't want to play it anymore. You guys are like that with your origin story.
That's what I wonder about Darryl Braithwaite and Horses. Mm. Like he could come out, it's like, Vanilla Ice and Ice Ice Baby.
I mean, no one wants Vanilla Ice to play Ice Ice Baby. It's a terrible song.
They do in Albury.
Really?
Yeah, so he played a gig in... Vanilla Ice played a gig in Albury.
Yeah.
And he stood up and played a couple of his songs. It sold out.
Oh, wow.
And everyone said, play the song.
And everyone started chanting Ice Ice Baby at him. So he played it. And then he tried to play another song and they chanted Ice Ice Baby at him again. So he played it again and then like 60% of the crowd left.
Oh, you got to save it till last.
Exactly.
But I guess the difference between like with Billy Joel, like he's got a lot of other songs other than Piano Man, whereas like Vanilla Ice, can you name one more Vanilla Ice song?
No.
Yeah, can you name one more?
Ice, baby.
Triple Ice. Antarctica, Ice, Ice, Ice.
Penguins.
Yeah.
So we're at the pub.
Yeah, so you're at the pub. Yeah.
So we're at the pub, the now defunct Turf Club.
Buzzkill over here tries to ruin the Ice, Ice, Mate, Ice fun. That was a great game.
We were just really leaning into the cold-based jokes.
We found the loser of the group.
That's fun.
Idiot and loser. you guys are smart.
We're a dynamic duo, the idiot and the loser. So we were at the now defunct Turf Club pub in Flemington.
Turf Club Hotel.
Yep. And would you say that Flemington is close to where you live, Simon? Just so our listeners get a perspective.
It's closer than here.
Okay, there you go. So people can start making a mental map and then they can do like a celebrity house tour through that mental map perhaps. I won't be on it. You guys clearly will, but not me. Sorry, Adam. You're telling some story. I don't know.
At the
Keep
pub.
Telling your story.
I'll go abridged. At the pub, a lady with like 10 mates after a day of uni.
The lady had 10 mates?
No, we had 10 mates. Right, just surprising. Clarify. Oh, we had 10
you
people
were there.
Sitting
Why
with
do
us.
You have to clarify it?
Just doing your job for you. It's fine.
I was about, can I interrupt one more time? Because I'm conscious that we're 10 minutes into the podcast.
And we've said nothing
no,
yet.
No, we have. We've had a lot of laughs so far. So if the trajectory of the podcast is like this, I'm going to be really happy because I'm having a great time. But I'm really conscious, as this is the first ever double episode, right? Have you guys both felt like you've, you know, had a chance to talk?
Equally.
Yeah. Because I don't want one of you to be sitting there being like, oh, Adam and Simon, this is the bloody Mike and Simon show. Like, I don't want you thinking that, Adam. Do either of you think that?
Would
so
you not
far?
Be the Simon and Mike show? I feel like Simon would, he'd be angling for a
Michael,
first name.
You
in that. You Aren't you angling for a first name? Because
no,
you're second place in us all the
that's
time.
That's all right. No, it's all right. I've become more humble.
I think if anything, we're happy for the other person to carry the conversation because then you're like, oh, the other person's carrying
just
it.
Got a free
getting a couple
beer,
of gags in here. Yeah, I'm sitting here very relaxed.
Well, okay, there is actually one more beer because it was a 4-pack. So shall we say that whoever contributes the best, in my opinion, at the end wins the last beer? Do you want to say that?
Is it contributes the best or contributes the most?
I think best because then if it's contributes the most, you know, I'm just going to be bloody battling both of you, aren't I?
Everyone's interrupting everyone.
Yeah. So maybe it's whoever just can make me laugh the hardest. So you guys have to be flexing your comedic
dance for me, monkeys.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I'm just putting that out there. You don't have to compete.
Watch all of the jokes take a sinister turn.
We're gonna be like dig at each other. Yeah. At the pub, lady.
What pub?
Turf Club.
Oh yeah, we're back to the story now. Sorry, guys. This is a bit all over the place.
Are we supposed to look at the camera or not acknowledge it's there?
I think the camera.
Where
is
are you
just,
at on it?
The cameras just fly on the wall. Okay. I think we look at each other, and the camera just happens to be there recording this moment together.
Okay, great.
But yeah, but you can look at it if you want. You can break the fourth wall a bit. But yeah.
All right. Story attempt number six. I reckon we are not going to get past Turf Club Hotel.
You'll get it. I think you'll do it.
So, 10 mates. Sitting at the Turf Club Hotel, Thursday afternoon
well, now
after
now you're
uni.
Just recapping everything. We Mate, already can, know this.
It's like we're watching The Bachelor and we've come back from an ad break. You're like, this is what's happened
last
before.
Time on The Bachelor. Last time on Adam and Simon. They
I don't
were
know
at
about
the
you
Turf
guys,
Club.
But reality TV rates like a million. So it's just like, it's all right.
Oh, so it's all about the rating. Yeah, it's fine.
So it's not about, you know, creative integrity. It's all
it's
about
not about
rating.
The audience. Oh, okay, great.
Up to you guys. Up to you guys.
No, all right. Wait, man, if I was goggle boxing this, I'd be pretty pissed. I just want to
Please
know the story.
Say something.
Well, this is the bit where Simon normally takes over.
No, I've never taken over on this early. So we were at the Turf Club Hotel.
Oh my God. Yes.
Mate, are you an amateur?
I'll tell the story. They were at the Turf Club Hotel. They were just hanging out and a producer came up to you and was like, are you guys interested in doing this show? And then only you guys said yes.
No, everyone said no at the time.
All of us said
And then
no.
We went out and had...
See, that's a twist.
Had ourselves a time and Adam woke up in his bed... wearing his shoes and his pants.
Next
still.
To the producer?
No, not next to the producer. No, that's a good twist.
That would be, but no.
In a real story. The unfortunate real stories don't usually have twists because they happened.
The unfortunate thing about that twist is when you say with the producer, everyone goes, "Whoa, juicy," and then we go, no. He just had his pants on because he was drunk.
Oh, okay.
And then he pulled out a pamphlet from his pocket that had the producer's phone number on it. Hey!
It was the producer's email.
Oh, okay. Email.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, get bummer. It right, Simon. Yeah. I guess the Titanic would have been a twist. That's a real life twist.
That's true. A real life
That's
twist.
That's a big old twist. Not,
we should have laughed at it.
We
it
hit
was
an iceberg.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, too soon.
That's a twist. Did. Yeah, too soon. Sorry. Too soon? It's a good movie. Wait, I'm talking about the movie, which is only loosely based on the true story. Sorry, continue. So the producer's number, email.
Email, yes.
At and this then, stage, it doesn't really matter.
And then Adam, who was notorious for having very strange jobs throughout uni, we can get into that a bit further.
Okay.
And sent a text to all of the 10 people who were there and said, remember that producer who said we should go on TV? Would you be interested? And I responded out of the 10 people the most positively. And I said, if you do all of the work from here, I'll do it with you.
And what's changed?
And I've turned up to this podcast 20 minutes late and I'm sitting in the middle not using my hands. So
yeah.
I gave up working then.
That's Adam, it.
Is that the story?
More or less, yeah. And then we had
All right, guys. Thanks
what
for
a
listening.
That's been we had really a, good to chat to you.
We had a screen test at Simon's parents' house, which is where we filmed season one.
Mm.
And then we had to film the season. We went overseas.
So we went overseas on a uni placement. And while we're overseas, we got an email saying, we thought you guys were great. We want to have you on the show, but we're going to need you to come back early.
Mm.
And
it was like 4 days early of what we had originally planned.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was no time at all. And in hindsight, the complete naivety of uni students and how little care we had for it at the time, we're like, I don't reckon we will. I don't reckon I want to come back from a holiday for 4 days early to do your TV show. I don't think so.
Wow.
Having looked at that now, all the opportunities we've been given, we probably should have just shut up and come home. But
so you didn't come home early?
I think we made them pay for our flights to come home early.
Because we were like, we can't afford to pay for flights.
We're and at uni, like, we're broke.
They were like, oh, we'll pay for your flights. And we were like, I guess so. And then so we turned up.
So it's interesting because you guys like, literally were just uni students at a pub one night and then suddenly you're like on Gogglebox, which was like a pretty phenomenal show. Like obviously it had international versions, but it had never had an Australian version before. And you guys were like one of the main, you were like, there was, how many people were on the first season? Like,
I think there was 10 families to start. Mm. And yeah, we were one of the 10.
And then suddenly you're like household names. Well, you know, not necessarily household names, but like people know who you are.
We were more household name than we were before the show started.
Yeah, that's true.
One in five houses, maybe. Not every house. 20%'s not bad.
20% of a whole country is pretty good, I reckon.
Pretty good, So like how did your lives change? Like even in those first few years, like surely your lives would have changed really quickly. Is this a Simon or an Adam?
No, this is a Simon.
This is me. I panicked. I was swallowing and I knew it was my turn. I was like, oh no, get
Mike,
this down.
Keep talking for three more seconds.
Mike, stall for me. It was really weird at the start because people would recognize you, but they don't know why they recognize you.
Right. Yeah.
So they kind of like, oh, I've definitely seen your face before and like, I don't know why.
Were you on season 4 of Big Brother?
Correct. That type
Gretel
of stuff.
Gretel Colleen, yeah.
Or people would be hellbent super fans and know, like, I know you. You're that person. You're the person from the show. I don't actually know your name or what your mate's name is, but I love that show and you guys are great. What's your name again?
It's the funny thing. People come over and they're like, I'm the biggest fan. Never missed an episode. It's so good. It's the massive part of my week. We love you guys, but what was your name again?
Are you Merrick or Rosso?
or they'll come over and say, oh, I love the show. It's my favourite. We sit down with the family. We have the best time. I mean, you guys are great, but Lee and Keith, they're the best. Have you met them? Have you met Lee and Keith? Have you done anything with them? Because they're great. They're just like me and my wife. And you're like, cool.
I mean,
cool,
I guess like that's kind of the appeal of that show, though, is that like, everyone can relate to at least one of the families or groups on that show, I suppose.
Yeah, it just appeals to people's narcissism because it's like you're looking in the mirror, you're like, oh, I said that, or like, that was exactly what I was thinking, so I'm funny because that was funny too.
You're one of them or you know one of them.
Yeah, your cousin, your uncle, your friend, someone that you met down at the footy club.
Yeah.
That's who it is. It's just people looking in a mirror.
It's always good when people are like, oh, me and my friend would be great on that show. And we're always like, yeah, you probably would be. That's the whole point is that everyone would be great on it. We were just lucky enough to, have a friend who was motivated enough to send an email. So
and someone else to go along with the ride.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Isn't that a low bar? I was just lucky enough to have a friend who was willing to send an email. Think about how many emails you send like most days.
None.
When you guys did it, because I assume, like, because you guys are physios and you were uni students at the time, like, I assume you didn't really have any experience with media or being, like, personalities, I suppose.
My brother was on the block.
Oh, before you were on Gogglebox.
Yeah.
Wow.
But not
did you have to review his season, Gogglebox?
Brilliant.
That
we
great.
Watched him on.
Thanks, Simon.
Brilliant.
He was on a season of Reno Rumble. I think we watched an episode of him on Renovation Rumble, which was a show on Channel 9. Only lasted a season.
Are you still laughing
Goggle
at
Blocks?
Goggle Blocks?
Yeah. Loved it.
That might win you the beer.
No, I can't win the beer. I forgot to say that rule. But did like, I guess, did you, when you first came back to do it, shoot the pilot or shoot the first season, were you kind of both like, oh, like, what is this? Like, is this going to be shit? Or did you think it would be successful?
Well, when the producer pitched the show to us, they explained that it's like, it's watching people watch television and just some vicious sledging. We're like, you are what is wrong with the world. Because we were
because
we were at uni and, you know, we were holier than thou and we'd never done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're what's wrong with the whole world. You're ruining the world by making shows like this. Mm. And then after that, it was more just like, just kind of, okay, sure, no worries. I need a bit of money. Let's go for it. So you just do it for a little bit of money and hang out with your mate. And it's like, well, when we agreed to really like, okay, are we doing this? Well, we might get to go to the Logies. And that's the main reason.
We might
that
see
we do.
Rove.
That was the main reason. I was like, can we drink free beers on this? Yeah, maybe. Will we get to go to the Logies? Also, maybe.
But we fully didn't expect the show to be successful at all. No way. Because it's such a ridiculous concept and it had never been tried here. So it's not like we were jumping on a runaway train already. Mm. Like the train was in the station and we didn't even know if there was enough coal to go on the fire.
And that's an analogy that I didn't see coming.
There you go.
That is an analogy that seemed almost like you prepared that in advance. It was that detailed.
I can tell you, Mike, I've never used that one before.
Adam has been known to have an analogy just
prepared before every interview.
Or just for every situation. I hazard a guess we've got about another 25 minutes to go.
Yeah, something like that.
That might be his halfway analogy and then there'll be at least one more before the end.
Finish this analogy. Bloody doing this podcast is exactly like...
No.
You want to give him a scenario and then give him an analogy. You're like, hey, so like sitting down doing a podcast with three friends the other day, oh, mate, it was a bit like...
No, it's not. It doesn't happen like that.
He's under the pump. Yeah, he can't.
I'm much better at setting
up. What's new?
I'm much better at running it in myself. So it was like, we didn't expect the show to be a success. Much like it was like jumping on the train analogy, and then you run with it. That. Like
you already did that one.
Though. Yeah, I know. But that's what I mean. I'm better at running in the story myself and then getting it in.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
rather than being like, yeah, here's a like toss it up, spike it for us.
Analogy. That was a good analogy. Yeah. Basketball or volleyball? Right. It's a volleyball analogy. Spike. Could have done pass it up, slam dunk it. That's a basketball analogy. Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good new show idea. Analogies, the show. Amazing analogies.
You write in a topic and we'll give you an analogy for it.
That idea is like having a good idea on a podcast. Analogy.
Everyone's got to start somewhere.
I thought my slam dunk one was good. But it was derivative of yours.
Very much so.
Yeah, just change the sport. That's fine.
Sorry. I mean, it's all right. Yeah. So I guess like where we were at was like you were uni students who were like, oh, I guess like who knows what this show is, but we just get to hang out and watch TV and sort of maybe get to do cool stuff like the Logies. And
yeah, there was definitely no thought to it being successful. I mean, not from my end anyway. Mm-hmm. Like never even crossed my mind that it would do well or not do well. I kind of had just no interest in whether or not it did. I was like, cool, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Just being present.
Well, there was 10 episodes in the first season and we thought we'd be lucky to get 6. And we're like, if it gets 6, then we're like, great, we've been on a TV show for 6 episodes. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we would jump off.
Did you tell your families, like, we're doing this show, we don't really know what it is, but we're doing it? Like,
we had to tell Simon's parents because we did it in their house.
We did it in their house. Yes. So, and my parents' home or my family home was open plan living. So it was like living room and kitchen all in one right down the center of our house. So when they're filming, my dad put a ladder at his bedroom window like he was like Prince Charming or something. And he'd just go and play golf when we were recording in the afternoon and would come back and climb into his bedroom via a ladder.
In his own house.
Because he didn't want to interrupt.
Because we were still the first season. So we're like, well, we can't tell anyone what to do. Whereas by the last season, it was like, just come through. Like, don't worry. They'll just cut it out. It's fine.
Yeah.
But at the start, we were trying to eagerly impress
for
our 6 episodes. And it was like, no, Dad.
You have to climb a ladder up to your window.
Climb through the window, please.
Like Rapunzel.
Throw down your hair. But instead of a hair, could you make it a Stanley ladder? Thank you. Please, much more sturdy.
So I know I spoke to you about this in the past, and as much or as little as you want, because I know you don't like pulling the curtain back, but like, is there anything you can say about how that show works? Because I know a lot of people are interested in it. Or do you just not want to talk about
that? Well, it really is. Like, it is pretty much as you see it. Like, no one feeds you lines. You watch the shows as they happen. You don't see the ads. Like, you get cut down versions of everything.
Yeah, okay.
That's nice.
But, yeah, I mean, it would be incredibly long, particularly when you watch the shows that run for like 2.5 hours on a Sunday night. Like, sometimes you do have to watch them live and you watch them whole. But there's definitely, like, periods where you tune in and out like you do when you're watching TV, but it's just us, just you in the room. No one's feeding your lines. It's the most simple concept for a show, but that's probably why it works.
It really is. Yeah. As simple as it kind of looks, and an absolute punish for any editor.
Oh, yeah. Really? Just to sit through the hours and hours.
Well, there's like 10 families each watching hours of television. It's like, okay.
And you can only.
And now I've
got
to try
bits.
To stitch a storyline out of this.
Each family would be doing like 10 to 20 hours of watching a week, and then all of that gets put in. So there's like somewhere between 100 and 200 hours of footage that they have to cut down into 40 minutes.
Yeah, shit. Okay. I have two more things I'm really keen to know about your Gogglebox time. Firstly, are there any moments, TV moments that you watched on Gogglebox and responded to that stand out to you as just like unforgettable moments, whatever it might be, a show or a news thing or any event?
The classic one is Gardening Australia. There was a Gardening Australia episode that we watched where...
With Costa
and the whole... And Costa and the gang, and one of the guys was talking about peonies and we had never heard of a peony flower before.
Neither have I.
And so the guy was on there really enthusiastically talking about how he loved big peonies and small peonies and he loved looking at his neighbor's peonies and all that kind of stuff. So we lost it. And then the lady started having like phallic pumpkins, and then a guy was putting pantyhose over his jackfruit, and
wow,
that was by far the funniest show that we watched by far.
And what about you, Simon? Any standouts or any, like, because you'd watch like news things as well occasionally, yeah, wouldn't you?
There wasn't any that really stand out. There was one we watched the grand final, Fremantle grand final live.
Oh yeah,
and that was a terrible, terrible game for any AFL supporters out there. Fremantle lost by...
No, it was Hawthorn West Coast because I was at the Fremantle game.
Well, how much did they lose by? Hawthorn West Coast at my house. Anyway, they lost by... Cool story, Sam. They lost by about, you know, 80 points or something.
I do remember
and
this,
and we just had to sit through it and, you know, you're just getting... That was the only one that I actually remember. Mm. And they used probably 30 seconds. I was like, that's a bummer.
And I guess on the sense that you guys are... You've watched a lot of TV. You guys have watched a lot of TV together in your time, probably both on Gogglebox and off. I assume you watch TV outside of
Never. Chef Never. Doesn't cook Never. At home.
There you go. Mm. Well, that's interesting. But I want to know, what are your favorite TV moments just ever in general from any show? What's a TV moment that you love or you wish you got to watch on Gogglebox?
I only watched this one recently in lockdown, but the end of The Sopranos.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I saw watched this and I had no spoiler. So because it's so old that no one had told me what happened in the end. And I got to see the end of The Sopranos and I watched it in hotel quarantine before we went on to I'm a Celebrity.
Okay.
And I watched it by myself and I was like,
I know what happens at the end, but I've never watched it.
I won't spoil it for anyone.
My first real TV moment was I was at like a school barbecue, like start of the year school barbecue. Mm-hmm. And I just remember at 7 o'clock, everyone left the barbecue to go home because the new season of Friends was starting.
Oh, really? What year
that's
was
how
that?
Old
seven,
Simon
7:30 on a Monday, and it would have been
1994.
Well, I was year seven in 98 or something.
Right? Wow, 90s.
You guys are so old.
No, not me, mate. I'm much younger than that. 2004,
12. Yep. Yeah, something
how
like
that. How old are you,
something.
Adam?
I'm 30.
And you're 39? No, just joking. Did you just take your phone out?
Check me out.
Well, I know the beer is leaning towards Adam. Simon's just taking his phone out mid-podcast.
I was just doing the maths on
how old
you would
you
have
are?
Been 13. It would have been the year 2000.
Okay, what's the maths we're doing? 2004 minus 1980 minus 5.
99.
1999. Okay.
So when the season of Friends came out, everyone
left.
That would
have been one of the last few, possibly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Wow. And it was like, that was the biggest thing on TV, 7:30 Monday night, everyone left. It was like a ghost town at school. I was like, geez, TV's big.
There's all the other big, like Red Wedding, Game of Thrones was a massive episode.
Yeah.
That was
huge.
Always a great episode. And I remember the Sydney 2000 opening ceremony, bit of Nicky Webster flying through the sky.
When the thing wouldn't light. The Kathy Freeman was trying to light the torch.
Anyone got a lighter?
Damn it. Around that much gas.
Yeah. I remember Prison Break. Do you remember?
Oh,
yeah,
Prison Break season one.
That. Yeah, that was like...
Mate,
that was the first show
I know Prison Break. I never watched it.
Mate, treat yourself. Prison Break season one is almost one of the all-time seasons of any TV show.
Wow, okay.
You know when people say, oh, just give it a couple of seasons, then it gets good? Nope. No, it's just watch the first one and then stop watching after that.
Okay.
Because one of those TV shows where they made it one season and it went so well, they're like, oh, we'll just add it. It's like, it's Prison Break. And
I remember seeing ads on like Channel 7 that was like
tennis.
Prison Break on the Run or something
like
that.
Yeah, you're like, guys, I think you've jumped the shark here. But that show was the first show that I binge watched.
Yeah, okay.
I remember watching it almost like all episodes back to back.
Nice.
Wild.
Yeah, Michael Scofield.
Ah, good one.
Yeah.
Petey.
I can see you guys are having a moment, so I'm just going to let it happen.
Teabag. Yeah, all the rest of them.
Teabag.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you decide to leave Gogglebox, was that that must have been a really hard choice?
Yeah, I think so. It was, we spoke about it probably for maybe the whole duration of the last season. Well, probably even the season before.
We got to the end of season one and we were like, geez, do you reckon we can leave?
Oh, yeah, that's actually what we did. I think we actually even messaged Hamish and Andy.
We did.
And we said, hey, guys, we're on this show and, you know, we really enjoy being in entertainment. We'd like to make a career of it. Do you have any advice for us?
Mm.
No reply.
Where did you message him?
I reckon it would have been Radio Karate, like the Radio Karate online, like contact us submission form.
Yeah, okay.
And I think
sure it wasn't an inbox.
Nah, I reckon it was Radio Karate.
Yeah. I
reckon that I would have got on there and been like, hey guys, like we'd love to catch up for a beer and just like talk to you about what it's like to be in the industry and stuff, because like we've been on a show and I don't know if you know, but it's there's 10 episodes of it.
Worst guys ever.
And then didn't get a response. So we're like, yeah, fair enough. Not that we expected a response. No. I mean, most of the time we reach out to anyone, we don't expect a response, but it's hilarious that we get one every now and then. Shot.
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you don't get. That's always the philosophy.
Is there anyone in the industry that you've that has given you advice or mentored you that you've really like admired?
There's a lot of probably most at the moment, like people that behind the scenes, like David McDonald, who's the EP of Gogglebox. Mm. We had a fair bit to do with him throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
And he's so incredibly experienced. Like he is the executive producer on Lego Masters as well.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of all the like the massive shows he's the EP of, and he's like he's the guy who's been around the traps. His dad was Norman Gunston as well. So like their family is very like entertainment.
TV guys.
Yeah. All the advice and stuff that they give is always good. And funnily enough, we're talking about analogies. Is one time I was talking to him because we always call him at the end of every season.
You had to bring it back, didn't you?
Told you.
It's called craft.
I thought we all silently agreed, guys, we won't do any more analogies. Like, we don't need a show off here.
The people who can't do them won't do them. The people who can do them will. But we would call him at the end of every season or like midway through and be like, hey, D-Mac, what's some advice for us? Like, how are we doing? What can we change to be better? And that kind of thing. And he was always like, the analogies are good because they're like very cuttable. And then you can put them on and they like they run them on the show and they make sense because they can link stuff together.
Mm. So yes, Adam's just told a story about how good he is.
How good his analogies are.
Yeah, don't worry guys. I've got some analogies and I put them on the TV.
But yeah, mostly people behind the set because we really haven't done much yet.
No.
Yeah.
No, nothing, actually.
We've sat on a couch for 5 years and then we went to the jungle for two weeks.
And look at you now, sitting on chairs. You've downgraded. Can sit. These are less comfortable.
Oh, then the jungle, maybe not. These have got backs on them.
Yeah,
these
true. Are quite nice. I like that you said, look at you now, sitting on chairs. Like beforehand, we're like sitting on the floor.
I do want to talk jungle, but one more question in terms of Gogglebox, or more just generally. Who's really been annoying me? What have I got? A little bit of lint in my hair.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, man. That's okay. That's gross.
That was more for the people watching.
Yeah, I'm sure this is a high definition camera, so
you can zoom in.
Pick up every little speckle pretty much. Who inspires you in terms of like the media, whether it's an Australian or a overseas personality? Like who's doing what you want to do or inspires you to do what you're doing?
I think it's hard to go past Hamish and Andy just because we are a duo to white dudes. Mm. So you look out and you're like, hey, where are we? That's where they are. But they are actually undisputedly the goats, you know, of radio. They started when they were 20 and just dominated for 20 years. I mean, you're working on a project with them, Remembering Project, where they literally are just talking about how cool they were.
Yeah.
Which is great. So, but you look at something like them and that's why we reached out to them. But then overseas as well, there's Ant and Dec in the UK who are another duo.
Yeah.
We tend to just look at duos really.
Yeah.
And the way they go about it is,
do you find it hard? Because I feel like there are a lot of male duos in the media landscape. And I feel like a lot of the time, I think just generally male duos are often just compared to Hamish and Andy. Do you find that difficult at all or do you not really care?
Well, I don't think it would be difficult if we considered ourselves like some level of their peer or equal.
yeah, me too, don't worry.
But if people are like that you're similar to them, you're like massive compliment, but
yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, but we also realise that is a massive overreach.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're happy to take it for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think when not aspiring to be them by any stretch. It's like with most things, you want to diversify and take little things from lots of different people.
If
you can spread yourself out amongst them, then
You see that with anybody who that's really successful. You hear that the most common thread I draw is that you know they all just put the work in, and it's all about just like continuing to do stuff, even if there's no audience or do it and do it. The way that it kind of like best portrays you in that, like, you know, it's true to your values and it's true to yourself, because you can't fake being someone else for a long period of time. That's maybe a short-term gain, but you can only be, if you be yourself, that's a really sustainable thing. And then if it doesn't work, you can be okay with that, because you're like, well, I was me, I was true to me. If that doesn't work, that's okay, because I didn't have to change or give away any of yourself.
You probably used to be able to fake yourself, but not now, because you're expected to be available and exposure and like social media and stuff. Mm. Like, you have to be you all the time. It's too hard to put on a facade for forever.
Mm. I really like that. I think that's really important. Like, oh, hang on, the movie has stopped. No space on the memory card. Can I swap the memory card?
Go for it. Yeah. Imagine we said no.
All right, we had a quick break there because the memory card filled up on the camera. But you were mentioning that Will Anderson loves Gogglebox off air.
Well, I've heard that he watches. I listened to his Willosophy podcast, which Radio Mike works on.
I've heard the editing's really good on that.
It's seamless.
Whoever's doing it should get a pay rise.
Yeah, I mean, if
right now you guys should subsidize it.
On that show, are you Radio Mike or Podcast Mike?
Oh, this is I've told this story a few times, so
don't worry about it.
What were you
going to say, Adam?
You actually don't want to know.
No,
your listeners have heard it. Your listeners have heard it.
Your listeners have heard it. You've heard it.
No,
it wouldn't be the same gusto. All right,
we can hear it after.
I'll research it somewhere else.
Okay, cool. But the answer to your question is Podcast Mike, but. I want to clear up. A lot of people think that Radio Mike originated on the Hamish and Andy show, which is not true. No. It originated much earlier than I was even working on Hamish and Andy, on the Luke and Lewis show, because I wanted to be called Sideshow Mike after Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons, but they laughed at me. So then I decided to call myself Radio Mike, and they still laughed at me. But here we are 4 years later.
Who's laughing now?
Well, us, but not because of that. Sorry, what were you saying?
Will talks on Willosophy about during the lockdown period not having or watching everything. He's like, I've finished all of the streaming services. So I go back and I watch old episodes of Gogglebox, and I enjoy watching because the things that were happening at the moment, you see people's reactions to like the news stories or and you forget about TV shows that were on like 10 or 5, 6 years ago, that kind of thing. So it's funny to hear people watch it. Because otherwise I just think my mum watches it.
It is really strange when people who are in the public eye, entertainment or whatever it might be, and also really, really intelligent people, like, oh, I love that show. Like,
why? Only dumbasses watch our show.
No, but like, I watch it and I like it, but I'm an idiot. So
you're not an idiot.
No, we established at the start. He was the idiot, I'm the loser.
Yeah, you're the loser, yeah, okay.
But then like, I'm like... What? Why are you watching it? What do you see? And they're like, oh, I love this and this. And this. I was like, I just like that it sounds funny. Do you know what I mean?
I like watching TV and they're watching TV.
like the colours.
And that, I watch me watch TV on TV. It's crazy.
Virginia Trioli. She used to be ABC News Breakfast.
I've
now she does
heard
like
that name,
she does mornings on ABC Radio. Mm. So she'll be like interviewing a politician, giving some like really hard hitting interviews, and she's like, oh no, I love Gogglebox. And you're like,
wait, in the middle of an interview with a politician? Or
separately. Yeah, but you're like,
so what are your thoughts on climate change, Prime Minister Morrison? Also, I love Gogglebox. Have you seen it?
she's terrible at segues. Great at interviewing.
Probably bad at analogies as well.
That's why she's not on the show. Yeah.
Were you finishing something there? Or
no, that was just a beautiful natural end.
All right, well, do you guys have like 10 more minutes at all?
You've got as much time as you like.
Okay, cool. I don't want to keep you for too much longer because I'm sure you guys are busy with your jobs and stuff like that. But it's
5:30 on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've got nothing to do, bro. You're like, I don't know what a job is.
It's also...
When do those things happen? I'm assuming they're happening all the time.
Not to ruin your week, but it's also Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow, that's a... real kick.
I freaked out for a sec because I'm going to Sydney on Thursday and I was like, oh my God, I need to be getting to sleep. My flight's in 12 hours. Now, you went into the jungle. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yep.
And that was really cool. I honestly was really, really stoked to see you guys on that because, well, first of all, I bloody knew someone on the show. I know most of the people that were on that show. But I don't mean I know them personally. I just meant I knew who they were.
Did you know any of them personally on the show?
No, I I recorded a demo, like I was paneling a demo once with Ash Williams, who was on it. Mm-hmm. And then, no, I don't, I've seen Grant Denyer around the radio station in the past when he was working there. But other than that, no, I don't think so. Not really. Except for these bloody guys. No, but I was going to say, yeah, I was really stoked to see you guys on because I was just, it was awesome to see you guys get a really big opportunity like that. And you guys are such awesome guys. And it was just, you guys really shone in there. How did that come about? I guess don't tell the same story as the Gogglebox story. Yeah, so we were in a pub.
No, there is actually a common thread. Adam sent another email.
Yeah.
Oh, so you asked to be on.
No, so I saw that the Channel 10 upfronts had been on and there was like a news article that was like, oh, these are all the shows that Channel 10 are going to be making next year. And one of them was this show called Making It. Oh, yeah. I don't know, have you heard of it? It's hosted by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, who are Ron Swanson and
from
Parks and Rec. And it's like Bake Off for handicrafts. Is the best way to describe it. So some people work with wood, some people do like sewing, some people make stuff with paper. And they were like in the thing, they said, 10 still haven't organized hosts, but they're looking for people who are local and funny. And so we'd met this. And
you're one of those.
That's exactly what I said. That's
exactly what he said.
Oh, really?
I emailed the CEO of Channel 10. Funny. Emailed the Channel 10.
No, you guys are funny and local.
Local.
You're both of those
things.
We're
mostly local.
Local, but you wouldn't know what suburb we're from. The CEO of Channel 10, we'd met at the F1 once, and I had an email in our address book because I'd said thanks for having us last time.
What is her email in full?
Nah.
Well, I'm not gonna email her. I've got a job.
But we emailed her and said, "Do you? I thought you just said you didn't have a job."
It's 5:30 on a Tuesday. Is it work?
Yeah, I'm working right now. God.
She said,
"I'm gonna clock off early, guys. So you guys finish up."
She said, I emailed her and said, hi Bev, just saw that 10's doing Making It and looking for hosts who are local and funny. I know two guys who are at least 50% of that. Let us know what we can do.
You saying that, it shows that you're funny.
And then she said, hey guys, we're still really early in the, well, I was surprised to get a reply first. We're still really early in the process of it, but how would you like to go to the jungle instead?
Nice.
And then I messaged Simon, who's notoriously bad at replying, and got a reply in 5 minutes.
And then it was all organized in 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So email was sent at 9:30, got a reply at
earlier,
10.
Bro. Earlier. Because I woke up to your text. You sent that at like 8:10.
No, I wouldn't have messaged. I wouldn't have emailed her before 9. Oh, I reckon I would have waited. Even I've got some decorum.
Not from what I've bloody seen. Hey.
And then
I don't know why I'm breaking into this Aussie character. I bloody knew the guys on the show.
Is this guy sticking around?
And then by 1 o'clock we
it's
were
the
on.
Beer.
Yeah, it's the beer for sure.
Yeah,
because everyone knows that it's true hard Aussie bloke drinks acai and passion fruit sours.
It's acai.
Hey, it's one. It's 10 standard. Oh no, 1.0. My bad. Yeah. It's not 10.
It tastes a bit like a kombucha, don't you think?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Simon, I am interested in hearing the end of the story.
So Channel 10 were doing their upfronts.
Yes, at the hotel. What's the hotel called? Oh, I was trying to do a callback to the Gogglebox story.
Oh, the Turf Club Hotel. You said hotel.
I should have said the Turf Club Hotel. Yeah. But
Oh, well, that was a bomb.
And then that was a bomb. We all have them.
So organised by 1 p.m. and then, by just after lunchtime, we knew that we were going. Mm. And then so we had to wait and not tell anyone for 6-8 weeks.
And it was filmed in advance this time, wasn't it? Yeah. It wasn't live. Yeah,
filmed in November, end of November, start of December in northern New South Wales. So we flew up, quarantined in Brisbane for 2 weeks and then we're in a holding house for like a week. Nice. And then went in there. Yeah.
And you had to do the smell-o-vision thing.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
So you had to put your head in the TV and then they would pump a smell in and you had to read an auto cue.
How did they pump the smell in?
There was like a pipe that ran into the TV that your head was in.
Oh.
And then that pumped from...
And was it poo smell?
Yeah, or it's all just horrendous smelling. Like you almost couldn't discern the difference between the smells because they're all so bad.
Wow.
And then you just have to read while you do it. The reading actually wasn't too bad because I can read. But then...
All right, relax.
Not from what I've bloody seen. Oh, he's got him again.
He's back. Have another swig, mate.
I'll tell you what, too much acai for my...
I reckon.
Too much passion fruit.
And then, but that wasn't nearly as bad as the eating challenge that Simon had to do. I definitely got off a bit scot-free there.
So tell us about that.
So it was a sushi restaurant, basically.
Sushi train kind of vibe.
Yeah, sushi train kind of vibe. And you'd roll a 10-pin like a bowling ball down at Tempin Alley.
It's good they make it fun for you guys.
Yeah, you know, so a little bit of sports, a little bit of recreation, and then you
everyone
bring
gets
over
a fair go.
Everyone have a try. No bumpers.
Yeah.
Not boasting, but no bumpers. It's fine. Made it all the way down.
There you go.
And then based on the number of pins you bowled, they'd bring out a sushi that had different stuff in it. So the first one had maggots and mealworms all wrapped up in it. The next one, I think Grant Denyer ate one with like a slice of a brain on top of it.
And then, is all of this stuff like edible in some cultures? Or
Yeah. Right, okay. I think so. Well,
I guess
so.
They have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did get asked, how did you not get food poisoning? And I was like, well, I assume that it's sterile.
Yeah, so it's all cold and cleaned. Mm. They would just clean it and then keep it cool and then they just serve it to you raw. Mm. But it's all like red meats. So that's so you can eat that raw, I guess. And then we had to have a bowl. It was like basically like a miso bowl with, there was a century egg in there, two goat's eyeballs, rat's tails, beech worms, and then it was all in like a pool of pig's blood.
Oh.
And then you had to eat the whole thing. So, yeah, it was...
What goes through your mind when you're doing that, when you're looking at that?
I'm super competitive, so I was okay. Mm. But Grant Denyer, he was really struggling, so I kind of knew I had to just keep it together for Grant Denyer, and then he is like battling through his, and then they kind of, and look, my tactic was actually to wait until Grant Denyer had finished his, because the rule was if someone throws up, we get no points.
Right.
And I was kind of half suspecting that he might throw up or stop.
Very strategic.
So I was like, well, I'm not going to start if he's just going to throw it up. And then halfway through they said, and then I just kind of, you just jump into it.
And what, like, what's an eyeball like when you squish down on an eyeball?
So it's really gristly on the outside. You know a gristle from a steak?
Yeah.
It's like all of that on the outside and you bite into it. Yuck. And then the soft part in the middle pops. Oh. And then like the eye liquid, you then have to drink that. That stuff is proper like gag reflex.
And what about the blood?
Salty, very salty.
But does it taste like people blood?
I don't know. Don't drink people blood.
Not a vampire.
Like cut your lip before.
No, much saltier. Much saltier. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But we also didn't have a lot of food with any salt. We had no salt in it for a couple of weeks. So
maybe it's not salty. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Yeah, it was weird. The whole thing was weird. But the worst part was the century egg and the yolk from the century egg. Mm-hmm. The whites are fine, but the yolk tastes like a ball of vomit.
Oh,
and then you have to eat it.
We've all had one of those.
Oh. Mate, like imagine when you've thrown up in your mouth and then have to swallow it again.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Gross.
Which is, not nice.
Okay, just a couple more things on the jungle. You guys came in and you hey, does anyone need physio? Because you guys are physios. Your entry thing was, hey, the physio is open kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Did anyone else do that? Like, was Grant Denyer running, like, family feuds for everyone? Or was it just you guys doing that?
I think it was just us on the tools.
Colin.
Colin was cooking.
Yeah, the chef, he was amazing.
Yeah, so there was no family feud.
There was no daily family feud. Dipper did a talk show.
Bit of Paulini singing.
Paulini was singing.
Yeah.
Paulini, so Paulini is a person who sings all of the time.
Right.
Like the musical kid at your school, but she is very... very good.
She lives in Les Mis. Like she's living in Les Mis.
It's unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I really wanted to scoop that Grant Denyer was running doing celebrity name games.
No, he's running Spelling Bee.
Yeah. He's running Game of Games.
Bee needs to come back. That was a great show. I love that. All right. The other thing is, I saw when you got the letters from home, which was obviously very emotional. But the other thing was I saw your thing where you were just talking about Adam and saying, oh, I love when people get to see that my mate is the best guy and that kind of thing. And that was really nice to hear. And I really enjoyed that. So how important is like friendship to you and your friendship or just generally, like how important is it to you guys?
Well, that's been the one thing that we've always never sacrificed throughout like the whole.
You've never done it.
We've never done it. I was making up a sentence as I go.
Sorry, I have interrupted a sentimental moment.
For
and
a
I
second there,
it.
I was like, is he trying to sacrifice our friendship?
No. So it's always something we've said we would never do. There you go.
I guess that's, always never does make sense.
Yeah, always never. It's a tautology, but it still can be.
Double superlative.
Yeah.
Certainly not an analogy.
No, no, it's definitely not that. No, you've ruined the flow now, so I'm not answering. No, I'm joking.
No, please answer. No. Please answer. We need content in this show.
No, it is something that we've always said to each other that would never sacrifice the friendship. So anytime, and we regularly will check in on how each other's going, and you know, before we start the next thing, is it something that we want to do? Like, where are we at? What do we want to do? Yeah. And that was something especially we discussed when Gogglebox finished for us, was when we go to the next step. Okay, it's probably more important that we check in more regularly, because with Gogglebox you have seasons, so at the end of every season it's like that discussion is almost not forced upon you, but it's timelined. It's like, okay, we're going to re-up and do this. Whereas now we're in a bit more of a fluid state where it's just moving from one thing to the next, and it's always important to check in and make sure that, you know, we're still having fun and we're still, you know, doing it for the purpose that we wanted to, which was to hang out with your friend and have fun. And it goes back to that earlier thing we said where you're not sacrificing on who you are.
Mm.
It's like, okay, great. How are you feeling? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like I can still be me and achieve the outcomes that we want. And that's one of the most important things to us, I think.
It's always friends first. It's like friends first and then colleagues second. So it's like, is this next project going to be fun? Yes. Are we going to be friends while we do it? Yes. Mm. All right, let's do it. More so than, all right, let's do this because it's going to get us to this position.
Which is actually something we probably learnt from listening to Hamish and Andy talk about it, because they would get a really similar question.
Yeah.
And they always talk about, whenever they're creating something, like the primary goal is to make each other laugh, and then they just back each other that if they are laughing about it, then most other people will too.
Yeah.
So, and we've kind of, that's probably the biggest thing that we've learned from them indirectly.
When I came on your podcast, which people can listen to, you guys said a lot of really nice things about me, which people can go and listen to. I'm not saying you should, but you can. So I'm gonna say some nice things about you from working with you over the last few years, which I find hard to do. But in terms of what you've actually just said there, in terms of like being fun and making each other laugh, like in the times that I've worked with you as well, it has been exactly that. And like you guys really fostering an environment where everyone is really welcome and stuff. And like, it was really fun doing the radio show that we did like for 4 weeks and then and COVID happened. But like, that was just some of the most fun I'd had in a studio, because you guys were just like totally appreciative of my weirdness, and I just had such a blast hanging out with you guys. And it's just I'm so excited for what the Adam and Simon machine does, the ANS, the Abercrombie and Sitch does next. I'm really excited, and that's why I was so happy when I saw you guys in the jungle, because I just thought it was cool, and I'm excited for what comes next.
Thanks, mate.
Appreciate
that's very kind. Yeah. Do you want me to finish off with an analogy?
One more thing.
Oh, because I had a good one.
Okay, we'll do the analogy.
Nah, well, do you want me to finish off with it?
Yeah, do the analogy at the end.
It was, we also loved having you on board, like we said on the on our podcast, having you on there.
Yeah.
Because we always try and, we want to have fun with each other, but we want everyone that we're with to be having fun as well. So it's like when you're on a bus, the bus is going to be more fun if it's full with people and they're all friends and they're all partying with each other than if you're sitting on the bus alone.
Okay.
Here's
how I end all of these. And this is because there's two of you, it might take just a couple minutes, but I always like to end it with what is one movie, book, album, and if you play them, video game, that you think everyone should experience in their lifetime? This is tough.
This is tough. So, wait, am I picking one of those or each?
For each,
okay,
yeah.
So the first one?
Movie.
Movie, book, album, video game. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4.
Great choice. I love 4.
Really? Yeah, 4 is definitely the best. You can revert, link them up.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to put some self-plug in here.
Mm.
I want to come onto Mike's Plays Games.
And
I want to beat you in that game.
Okay, mate, I did it with Jack Post, but I'd love to play
again
with you.
Yeah. Scared. See, you chose a weaker adversary. It's fine. No worries. Having not known Jack Post's history of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, but that's okay. I might actually have to look that up.
I'd love to get you on, for sure.
Album. What am I listening to? Right now I'm listening to a lot of Teskey Brothers, which is really nice, but I think maybe Kooks, just their first one.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I really like it. That was... I don't know. It's just nice to listen to.
Great.
Put you in a good space.
Yeah.
Book. I mean, Legacy. It's a book about the 11 things you can learn from the All Blacks, the rugby team.
Interesting.
And it's about just staying really humble. So their whole philosophy is that, you know, the jersey of the All Blacks is, you know, that's esteemed. And if you get the chance to wear it, no one's ever bigger than that. And it's a bit of a, you know, analogy for life, that you're not bigger than the machine you work within.
Gotcha.
You're just that one part, and you need to do your thing. And it doesn't mean, you know, that you're not good or you're not whatever. You can sacrifice to make everything else better. Then movie. Don't know. I'll answer that after. Oh, maybe Harry Potter 1 through 8.
Okay. Interesting. Adam?
Video game. If you can go back on pre-Windows MS-DOS and play Jones in the Fast Lane.
Oh, okay.
Jones
I've not
in the Fast
heard
Lane,
of that.
Classic game. It's right. Like kind of like the Game of Life in computer form. It's like super basic, but you basically got to go around. You got to like get a job and go to uni and you got to work and you're challenging each other to see who can be better at life.
Yep.
I just remember playing that as like a 10-year-old kid.
I've never heard of it.
Jones in the Fast Lane.
Okay.
Book. I mean, if you haven't read the Harry Potter series, I mean, you just have to.
Nice.
Yep. Treat yourself.
That's a real easy one. What else was there?
Album and movie.
Album. Album is the Fly Facilities Melbourne Symphony Orchestra live at their Sydney My Music Bowl. Went to that gig. That was
amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's just an easy. That's a great one to have on in the background, like dinner and stuff.
Mm.
It's a really good one. And then movie. I mean, my favorite movie of all time is full nostalgia, Space Jam.
Ah, oh, classic. Cool. Yeah. Love Space Jam.
Yeah, good one.
So very much looking forward to Space Jam.
And
too.
I do feel like that's a movie that like everyone can enjoy on some level.
Yeah.
Are you going Space Jam 2 then, Simon? Or
no, I completely forgot that I had to. No, I'm going Harry Potter book the movie.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Awesome. All right. Adam and Simon, this has been a pleasure. First double episode. We made it. I didn't know if we would, but we did. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, mate.
I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Ah, you're welcome. Oh, and who wins the beer? I've thought a lot about this.
You definitely forgot.
No, I didn't. I decided about halfway through that it would be mean to award someone the beer. So you guys can decide amongst yourselves who, I don't want this. I'm not going to have it.
No, Mike. I'm going to hold you in this uncomfortable space. You have to pick someone.
I'm not going to do
that. You pick, Mike.
Goodbye,
you pick.
And thank you for listening / watching. Goodbye forever. 'This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content, stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram, and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.